Welcome to Encompass Church Podcast. We are so glad you've joined us today. To share your story of what God has been doing in you and through you, take a moment to email us at amen@encompass.org.au. Enjoy today's message.
All right, good morning. How are you doing? All right. You can take your seats, everyone. So good to be back at Encompass, speaking to the most responsive church service. Yes! All right. So, yeah, it's a joy to be here. I am the proud father of 7 children, 5 daughters, 2 sons. Father Abraham had many sons. I had many daughters. But that's done me good. It's done me good. All right, so it's always a joy to be invited anywhere, but it's a joy to be invited back. So I want to thank Pastor John and Lois for having me back. So I'm a great believer in after the message comes the encounter. You know, who would go to a restaurant and just read the menu and then leave? You know, you read the menu or you find out what's on the menu so you can have the meal. And so I view this message as you seeing what's available to you in Christ, and then we're going to have a response moment, just prepping you for that so that you're not just reading the menu and going, that was nice, look here. Well, you don't do that when you go to a restaurant. You know, the whole idea is you're finding out what's available so you can have the meal. And I want to talk to you about starting at the finish. Starting at the finish. And we're going to unpack some things about your Christianity and where you're meant to be starting in your Christian journey. So let's pray. So Lord, I thank you for the life and liberty of your Spirit. I thank you for veils coming off, that we go from glory to glory even as we see more of who you are. And may that big unveiling moment be happening as your word is declared today in Jesus' name. Amen. So starting at the finish, and I'm referring to the finish that Jesus was talking about, his last words on the cross when he said, "It is finished." I'm going to put it to you that they are the most important words spoken by the most important man that ever lived. And I'm going to unpack that, what Jesus was referring to when he said, it is finished. We could translate that as him saying, it is completed, it is accomplished. So here's where I'm going with this message, okay? We want to start by realizing what was God's original intention in making you a human being. And Genesis 1:26 said, God said, let us make man in our likeness and image so that they might rule over the fish of the sea, etc. So you're made by God's intention to be an image bearer on the earth. He's designed you with the capacity to bear his image on the earth. And that is a true human. A true human, according to God's original intention, is an image bearer. That's a human. But we know that we fell, we lost our way, we lost our true humanness. We fell. And so what Jesus came about to accomplish was a restoration of our humanness. Now, I know we've made it a lot about heaven and hell and sins forgiven, etc. when you die, but this is the gospel of the kingdom, and it's a lot more than just about sins forgiven and heaven when you die, which, by the way, heaven is your waiting place, because read your Bible, we end up in a new heaven and a new earth. So you don't end up in your mansions playing a harp on a cloud. You actually end up in a restored earth. That's the end of your Bible. All right. So Jesus came and launched a restoration process. That's why his message was, the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is now at hand. It was previously out of reach, but now it's within your grasp. Jesus was launching God's restoration of humanity of the planet. Yeah, that's what was happening. So Jesus was actually modeling for us what it's like to be a true human, a true image bearer. When he loved, he forgave, he had compassion, he broke bondages, he healed people's lives. He wasn't just showing us what God can do, he was showing us what we could do as image bearers on the earth. That's why he said, follow me. Now, he wasn't teasing us. He was turning to humans and saying, come on, follow me. That's why he could turn to humans and say, what I'm doing, you can do also. He was seeking to invite us back into being true image bearers once again, restoring God's original plan on the earth. This was the coming of the kingdom of God. So this was this whole mission of Jesus, where he was launching God's restoration plan, lived out his life, gets to the cross and declares, it is finished. He's now declaring, I've launched this, and now we as Christians get to start at his finish. It's now our launching pad. We don't get to start back in the bells and smells and shadows and types of the old covenant. We get to start at the new covenant realities of what the old covenant was speaking about in shadow and types. We now are starting at this amazing place. And here's the basis of where I'm trying to take. It changes our view of everything. It gives you a whole new perspective on your Christianity. But many of us are in covenantal confusion. We're using some new covenant language, and then we're still reaching back to the old covenant and using terminology that Jesus said, no, no, start here. Start here. I've brought the reality of what the old covenant was speaking about in shadow, in type. So we need to be careful we're not striving for what we already have. We need to be careful that we're not fish swimming in the ocean looking for the water. You know, we already are here. This is all. See, this is what we've got to realize. So let's imagine I'm in the kitchen making this spaghetti sauce, and I'm putting all the ingredients into making it an awesome spaghetti sauce. And then I give it to you, and you say, yeah, but I want garlic. And I say, well, it's in there. Oh, yeah, but I want onions. Well, it's in there. I put it in there. Oh, yeah, I want basil. Well, I put it in there. I want tomatoes. Well, I put it in there. Striving to have what we... It is complete. It is finished. All right? So we're going to see what Jesus was actually referring to that he already put in the spaghetti sauce, all right? And then you're yelling, more, 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 and Jesus is saying, I already put it in there. What you're yelling out for more, you need to realize you already have. And now you're meant to be using your faith to access what you have. Your faith, you're not trying to overcome the reluctance of God. Your faith, you're not trying to get God to do anything for you because it is finished. Your faith, you're trying to access what's finished. You're trying to access what's already available to you. And two really critical things. When Jesus cried out, it is accomplished, two amazing things happened. One, the veil was torn in the temple that separated the dwelling place of God, the Holy of Holies, from the holy place. It was torn from top to bottom. God was saying, no more barrier, no more veil. And yet some Christians spend their whole life trying to stitch the veil together again. Make it a barrier. Make it hard to get into the presence of God and all that. Absolute nonsense. Stop trying to stitch together again a barrier that God has rendered and ripped out of the way. The other thing that happened was Jesus ascended back into heaven and he sat down. And we miss that. We miss the significance of having a seated Savior. But here's what we're meant to get by our seated Savior, is that's what you do when you're finished. That's what you do when your work is over. That's what you do when there's nothing left to do. You sit down, and here it is. Are you ready? God's not going to do any more for you than he's already done. The rest of your Christian life is you accessing what's been done. Because here it is. You ready? Finished means finished. I'm handing you the spaghetti sauce, and you keep chanting, I want, I need, I... Well, it's already done. You already have it. Can you see how starting at the finish changes your prayer, changes your worship, changes your language, changes your perspective of actually what now is available to us? Let's stop striving for what we already have. See, this is what the progression of your Christian life now is, not God doing things for you, but you seeing what he has done. And it gives you the impression that he just did it, but really he didn't. What happened was a veil comes off and you see Jesus as Savior, so you step into it and you experience it. A veil comes off, you see Jesus as your baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and you step into it. I see him as healer, I step into it. I see him as provider and protector, all these things. And it's like he just did it for me. Well, actually he didn't. Jesus was seated the whole time, and all I did was see it. It would be like this pulpit being veiled, and because I can't see it, I don't use it. I don't access. It doesn't give me any benefit. But the revelation, that's what the word revelation means, to unveil. So the reveal, I go, oh, I get benefit from this. Now, it didn't suddenly get created. It was always there. I just didn't see it. And now I see it. Wow. I begin to access and get benefit from it. This is why in Ephesians 1:17, when Paul is offering up a prayer for you as the New Testament apostle, he's actually not asking God to do anything for you. Read the prayer. He's praying that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you will know the hope of your calling, the riches of your inheritance, the power of them who believe. He's praying for you to see what you already have. And this is why it says that we're transformed in 2 Corinthians from glory to glory, even as our faces are unveiled. Check it out. That we go from glory to glory. As the veil comes off, we go from glory to glory. This is why we're told that we already have all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. Listen to how God talks about the provision he's made for you starting at the finish. In 2 Peter, he says, everything that you could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us by his divine power. Wow. You know, when you were born, God foresaw everything, every high, low, challenge that you would ever face, and he made available to you in that moment, deposited grace for you to overcome everything this life's going to throw at you. And you need to access it. You need to use your faith to draw upon it. That's why we're told to start our prayers with thanksgiving, because we're starting at the finish. So why is this important for us to get an understanding and to stop this covenantal confusion that we're under? Why is it important? Because without an understanding of the finished work, we have powerless Christians who are constantly needing to be reassured of God's forgiveness. constantly needing to be reassured of God's love and acceptance, all right? And so we end up praying like beggars, thinking that we need to be crying out to attract the favor of this reluctant God, that our prayers are really this arm wrestling. And if we can just get a bit more beefed up, we can overcome this reluctant God and get, what a load of nonsense. What a load of nonsense. In fact, it's more than nonsense. It's heathenistic. That has its roots in heathen paganism. Overcoming God. God, look, and I'm manipulating God by what I'm doing down here. That makes you God and him your minion. Can you see how this is really scary stuff? All right. So when we don't understand the finished work and starting at the finish, we are still fighting a defeated devil. We've made it into some competition of strength going on. You know, it's like the Roadrunner and the Coyote. If you knew those cartoons, you know, oh, one day I'm going to get him. That's a load of nonsense. Whoever thought up this stuff? How could a created being, that's what the enemy is, a fallen angelic being, be on a par with the one who created him? How could that? How could the created be on a par with the creator? And by the way, I thought Jesus said all power and authority. And if I've got all power and authority, that means he's got none. Hello? If I've got all of it, last time I checked, all means all. And so where did we get all this stuff from? We got it because we're still back here when we're meant to be there. We haven't realized our starting point. And so when we don't understand our starting point, we have all this covenantal confusion. What does that mean? We're still reaching back to the old covenant scriptures to get our bearings on how we're meant to behave as new covenant believers. But the Bible's very clear. Anything the old covenant can do, the new covenant can do better. That's why it's called old. And that's why it's called new, all right? That's why this is a shadow. And when you see a shadow, you're meant to be looking for the reality. And so everything. Now, I love the poetic language of the Psalms and the promises. I'm not negating that. But when I read that, I realize, wow, anything the old covenant can do, the new covenant can do better. Hebrews 8 says, but Christ has been rewarded with a far more important work than those who serve under the old laws, because the new agreement that he passes on to us from God contains far more wonderful promises. All right? So I put together this little diagram for you to see that a lot of, and boy, it's no way exhausted, but what was true in the old covenant has passed through the cross to a new covenant reality. Law has become grace. The continual need for animal sacrifice has become the once and for all sacrifice. The Levitical priesthood, the bells and smells, the special person has now become, you all get to come boldly before the throne of grace because the veil was torn. There is no special place. Oh, I've got to go to this special place, this temple, before I can pray and meet with God. That's all passed through the cross. And now you, wherever you are, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Right standing with God by obeying the laws has now, you've inherited right standing with God. See, here's something we need to understand. In the Bible, God made covenants with man, but when it came to this new covenant, he didn't make it with you. He made it between the Father and the Son, and you inherited the benefit. Stop thinking that your performance is you meeting up to the standard to gain the benefit of this covenant. It's got nothing to do. You're just meant to be enjoying the benefit. That's why it's called grace. That's why it's called loving kindness. That you got written into the last will and testament as a recipient. So God, last time I checked, it was Jesus saying, this blood is the new covenant in my blood, not yours. Some of us are carrying on as if it was our blood. But actually, we can see that these things have passed through the cross and there is no fragile. So some of us are exhausted in our Christianity because our Christianity is like this. We are just collecting doo-doo. Yeah, you heard me. Yeah, you're just collecting doo-doo. If I can just doo-doo enough prayer, doo-doo enough Bible study, doo-doo enough beatings, get all my doo-doo together and stand on top of my doo-doo, I can give myself mental permission to be close to God. God, look at this doo-doo. I can pray and you'll answer my prayers. I've been so good this week. Look at this doo-doo. Well, listen, doo-doo is slippery stuff, you know, and pretty soon you're going to mess up and all your doo-doo is going to go flying everywhere and you're going to be down the bottom of Mount Doo-doo. And then what are you going to do? You got to get all your doo-doo back together again. Man. Before you will give yourself mental permission to be close to God. Well, you must be exhausted. That's all you're done. All your Christian life is collect doo-doo. When what you're meant to be doing is falling fearlessly into the arms of a loving God where he sits on a mercy seat for you. You know what he's sitting on right now is a mercy seat, not a judgment seat, a mercy seat. Come on. This is where we are starting and we're coming boldly before the throne of grace. You know, when you get caught up in all that doo-doo stuff, it's a dangerous place because anything you're trying to add to something that God says is finished is called self-righteousness. Your act of trying to add, God sees as your unbelief in the finished work. Because the truth is, no amount of prayer, Bible study, or obedience can make you any more acceptable to God than you are right now by the blood of Jesus. Give up the doo-doo. Go and start at the finished work of Jesus Christ. Your freedom is not a reward for the stuff you do. It's a revelation of who you are. That's why our response is worship and gratitude. And we humble ourselves. I think those that struggle with pride don't get the finished work. That's why they're prideful. But when you get it, you humble yourself, and that's where the grace of God falls. So it is finished, but that doesn't mean we are finished. That doesn't mean we kick back now and go, oh, it's all done. Let's just sit by the pool and, you know, whatever, till Jesus turns up. No, we still pray, we still believe, we still serve. But guess what? We're doing it from here, and it changes our perspective. It changes our perspective of prayer and worship and all the serving. Look at it like this. When I start talking to you about what you must do as a Christian without first establishing in you what's been done, then I'm putting a cruel religious bondage on you. Because I'm actually starting you from back here. I haven't done my job and saying, oh, no, you start here. It would be like me getting my top button done up wrong this morning, my top button with the wrong button. What do you know about every other button I'm about to do up? It's going to be wrong. Prayer will be wrong. Worship will be wrong. Giving will be wrong. All these things, this do will be wrong because I didn't get it done up. The first button being, I understand all that's been done for me. And on the basis of this, I pray. And on the basis of this, I worship. And on the basis of this, I serve. So you can be sincerely doing up all these buttons, but you got the first one wrong. Therefore, every other button, every other doing of Christianity will be wrong. So this changes our perspective. And so now we're declaring God's kingdom to come. We're not pressing on towards victory. We're actually coming from victory. We're taking our stand in Christ and we're declaring the coming of God's kingdom. All right, these are all important perspectives that we need to understand to bring our lives in alignment. Now, getting closer to God, okay, getting closer to God is not a geographical getting closer, as if he's gone off somewhere. You know, the poor people in Perth right now, because if God's here, then he's not there. So we've got this geographical God that's moving around the place. And he rocked up because he liked our choruses this morning. Gee, really? Is that? No. If you need to get closer to God, the new position that means is you are so distracted right now, you need to deal with those distractions and get them out of the way, because God has promised never to leave you or forsake you. So if you have this sense that he's gone somewhere, there's a blockage, a veil there. Remove the veil and he's right there. I know we love to talk about being God chasers, but how do you chase a God who promised never to leave you or forsake you? How do you do that? You know, he's right there. Oh, yeah, but we want to talk about that. Well, we've reached back to the old covenant to get that language. So we need to understand. Oh, now, okay, oh, God, I'm so thirsty for you. Well, all right, but actually that means you must have stopped drinking. Because Jesus said, I'm going to put water in you, spirit in you, and when you drink of it, you'll never thirst again. So old covenant is, yeah, thirsting God. Now it's, well, access what you have then. You know, I can die of thirst with this bottle of water in my hand. You know, they find me in a couple of weeks like this. Oh, man, because I am deluded to think being in the presence of water is enough. I can be in the presence of water and still die of thirst. Because I'm not drinking. You know, I just thought the presence was enough for me to have the presence. No, you got to drink. So when you say I'm thirsty, we're not going to admire that as some spiritual level that you've attained. Ooh, there's. We're going to go, well, drink then. Drink. What's wrong with you? That's when you going to a new level in God. We love to say, oh, I want to go to a new level. Well, that's going to be hard because you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the only place to go now is to bump one of the Godhead off. You know, it's like, Holy Spirit, move over. I'm going to the next level. I'm already seated in heavenly places in Christ. So I know we're having a laugh here, but I'm just trying to say, can you see how we get our language a little bit skew if at times. Finished means finished. Now, I can hear some of you saying, well, look, I know you're telling me I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm close to God, I'm filled with his fullness, but I just don't feel it. Well, I want to say, what else is true about your life right now and you don't feel that either? Do you feel like today's Sunday? Well, probably most of you do because you're here. Well, you know, What are we going to do with all these other things that you don't feel is true, that's really true? Many of us in this room are married. What about the days you don't feel married? What are you going to say to your spouse then? Hey, I'm not really feeling it today. Not really feeling married. You know, what happened for you to change your status and enjoy all the rights and responsibilities of your new status as a married person? Here's what happened. You spoke words and you believed. You believed when you spoke those words. It changed your right and position and privileges and you began to access something. Imagine standing there in front of the celebrant and he gets through declaring, you are now husband and wife, and you go, not feeling it. No, can you like do that again? Because it didn't work. I just felt like, what, do you feel? No, do it again. I guarantee on your wedding night you didn't say, honey, I'm not feeling married. I'm going to sleep on the couch until I'm feeling married. I guarantee you didn't do that, all right? You know, all these things we need to understand. And imagine, you know, for years you wake up beside your spouse, you look at her and you start to think, I need to get closer to you, closer to, and I'm crying out, but you to be near me. She's going to think, you're a nutter. I'm just right here, and he's like talking about me like I'm off somewhere else. And after years of marriage, you know, she's working hard, she sits down, and she goes, oh, I'm finished. And you reward her faithfulness by saying, I need more. And she's going, I'm going to give you more right now. Can you imagine how Jesus is looking at the Father going, I thought I was pretty clear, I was finished, and we need more. More is you seeing more. Finished means finished. So I'm going to pray that your eyes would be open wide to the fact that you're starting at the finish. And let all this covenantal confusion and jumbled up thoughts about God be gone. Whatever you thought you knew about God is wrong if it doesn't look like Jesus. Yeah, but this happened and I'm not belittling what happened, but I'm saying don't go telling me that's God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that's why I'm saying, whatever you think you knew about God is wrong if it doesn't look like Jesus Christ. And so God is not angry at humanity, he's not angry at you, and he never has been. Come on, what was the cross all about? The cross was God, the extremity that God is willing to go to show you that he loves you. For God so loved. God's never been angry. And that's just some frustrated people trying to manipulate your life with religious fear. That's basic. And on behalf of the Preachers Union, I want to apologize to you if that's messed up your life. But I'm here to tell you the truth. He loves you with an everlasting love, that God's never been angry at you, and that his whole plan all along is restoration for you. He took your sin, he absorbed it into himself, he carried it through death and out the other side. His goal for you is not to fix you, but to transform you. That's why the biblical words for who you are in this place is a new creation, born again. That's not fixing language, that's transforming language. So let's just bow our heads. I'm going to ask the singers and musicians to come back and help me. So today, our trust is in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not in our own good works. Today, the yoke of religious fear comes off and we approach the throne of grace with confidence. Today, we shift our awareness onto God's reality. Today, we're using our faith not to arm wrestle with a reluctant God, but to access all that he's done. And welling up in our hearts is gratitude. Welling up in our hearts is thanksgiving. Now, before we move on, it would be remiss of me heads are bowed, eyes are closed, to not give an opportunity for people to get right with God before they leave this place. Maybe today you're hearing what I'm trying to lay out to you and you realize I've never really opened my heart up to Jesus at a personal level. I've attended church, I hang around Christians, but I can't point to a time when I knowingly, willingly, intentionally opened my life and made the Savior my Savior. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. Or maybe you're a Christian who your heart's grown cold towards the things of God, and today is your opportunity to come back, to reconnect. You're like the prodigal, wandered off, and you've come to yourself and say, oh, I want to get right with God before I leave this place today. You don't need to leave your seat. You can pray this very simple prayer that I'm about to pray with you right now. I can lead you in it. But God sees your heart right now. There's nothing magical about this prayer. It's your heart intention when you say it with me. And if that's you, you're ready to get right with God before you leave this place today. If that's you and you're ready to pray this prayer right where you are, lift your hand really high right now. Looking around this room. Yeah, God bless you down here. Yeah, who else? Come on, lift your hand really high. Anyone else looking, giving you this opportunity? Come on. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Who's going to pray with me right now? Come on. Anyone else looking around? Your heart's beating. You think, boy, I didn't think I'd end up. I thought I was just coming to church, but here you are at this moment of decision. Who else will lift a hand? Yeah, I am talking to you. Yes, I am addressing you right now. Come on. Lift it up. Say, yeah, that's me. I want to make this decision. I don't want to leave here the way that I came in, struggling with the same sort of stuff. Who else will pray with me right now? Waiting for you, looking around. Come on, we're going to pray with the person who's raised their hand. We're going to support them. So let's say this together. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe you to be the Savior of the world. Today, I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for cleansing. And thank you for a new beginning. I receive it now. And I thank you for it. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Encompass Church. If today's message has impacted you and you want to give your life to Jesus, if you need prayer, or if you want to get connected to the church, please contact us at office@encompass.org.au. Never miss a moment by following us online. Search for Encompass Church on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.